Please listen carefully.
Welcome back to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast, everyone. Erica here. I'm podcasting from my couch right now. It's Sunday morning, and this podcast is probably going to come out on Wednesday. Not to give you my whole life story, but Lizzie is sleeping right now, and I woke up, and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to make myself some coffee, some avocado toast, and just take a couple of moments to myself to, I don't know, eat and breathe in peace. So I decided to just jump on here, get some podcasting done, and start my morning with a little me time. I feel like it's really easy to get caught up in the day to day, regardless if you have kids. I feel like I was kind of stuck in that when I was working full-time, pregnant. I would just get up, go to work, come home, cook dinner, clean, blah, 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 blah. And I didn't really just wake up slowly and sip my coffee and then get ready for work. Instead, I'm rushing around all the time. So I'm finding as a mom, I'm really trying to make it a priority because I need that me time even more. So long story short, there's my rant for the week. Make sure you're making me time for you. And even if you only do it like one or two days a week, notice the difference and the shift in how you go about the rest of your day. Okay. Now, a little less talking about me, and let's talk more about mom life. So, earlier this week, I had a podcast episode come out, and we talked with Laura of Lucky Baby Lactation, all about breastfeeding. She was my go-to resource. She is so helpful. If you haven't listened to that episode yet, definitely go listen to it. And even if you're not a mom or you don't plan on being a mom, share this episode with somebody that you know that has a little one or is soon to be mom. Even if she doesn't plan on breastfeeding, to me, knowledge is power. And that episode is full of information, to spark anybody's curiosity. So, yeah, I would really appreciate if you passed along this episode. This episode is, again, me interviewing Laura. It's a little bit short. It's like a bonus episode this week. And this episode we recorded back in January when I was prepping to go back to work. And I was so nervous because breastfeeding and pumping are very different, at least for my body. I produce a lot more milk breastfeeding as opposed to pumping. I really struggle to pump some weeks, so I sat down with Laura. We came up with a plan when I should pump when I'm at work, how I should store my pumping parts, how to boost my production, just a ton of information. So again, if you know a mom who's heading back to work, this is a great episode for her to listen to. Okay, enough about me. Let's jump into today's podcast sponsor and then the interview with Laura. Thanks for listening in, guys. I just want to give a big shout out to today's podcast episode sponsor, Pixel Eyewear. Pixel Eyewear blocks out the blue light from technology. So, I recently read a study that says people spend 10 plus hours a day staring at digital screens. That includes your TV, your phone, your computer. That's over 70 hours a week, 280 hours a month, and 3,360 hours in a year. That's absolutely cringeworthy. And just how blue light can damage your eyes, it also affects eye fatigue, eye strain, blurred vision, dry eyes, headaches. It messes with your circadian rhythm by influencing the production of melatonin in your body. Exposure to blue light at night time can disrupt your sleep cycle, making it harder for us to fall asleep. I know that I personally struggle with that myself. So what these glasses actually do is they protect against 50% of the harsh blue light and up to 95% at the highest levels without distorting your color perception. So when you put on the glasses, you see just as you would see with normal glasses. There's no color distortion. Everything looks the absolute same. And I actually wear them all the time. I wear them when I'm on my laptop, when I'm home. I just keep them by my nightstand when I watch TV and things like that. And it helps that they're super trendy and chic looking. I absolutely love mine. I was debating buying another pair, but I actually just really love my style, and they have a couple to choose from. So if you want to snag your own, make sure you use the code BYOK and you'll snag yourself a discount. Thanks for supporting today's podcast sponsor, Pixel Eyewear. Let's jump into this interview. Hi, Laura, and welcome back to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast.
Hi, Erica. How are you?
Good. So I'm super excited for this podcast episode because we are going to be focusing on pumping as opposed to, you know, exclusively breastfeeding. And I received so many questions from other newbie moms and pregnant women. So let's just jump right in.
Sure.
What are the different ways to pump?
Technically, there are really no different ways. It's just some moms are exclusive pumpers. Some moms pump when they're missing feedings at the breast. So there's really no, like, different way to pump. It's pretty much just think of pumping as a replacement of a feed at the breast.
Okay. And so, like, what kind of mechanisms are there to pump? I guess I should phrase it that way. Because I know, like, I pump with the machine, but you had also recommended a Haka.
Right. So the differences are there's a hand pump, which would be like a manual pump, which you have to like literally pump with your hand as you're pumping. There's a double electric pump, which is an amazing thing because then you're kind of like you have to hold it, not technically hands-free, but you can get apparatuses, bras, sports bras that you kind of make into a hands-free bra. So then you're hands-free, kind of. There are some pumps out there that are completely hands-free on the market right now. And then the Haka is more like a silicone pump that you use. It's almost not really a hand pump, but it's for excess milk, like especially at the beginning.
Interesting. And you had actually recommended that I use that in the middle of the night because I was like leaking breast milk in the middle of the night, and you said that was like a good tool to just put on your breast while your baby is on the other breast?
Yeah, so it's almost like accumulates. You have all that milk leaking, and who wants to waste liquid gold? You literally just turn it inside out, and you put it on your breast, and it almost is a collection. It's like a collection cup for the breast milk that's leaking out of your breast at that point.
And you don't need to like hook it up. It's not electrical or anything that like that, right? It's just like kind of by design, it's able to like suck it out.
Yes. It's almost like a suction, like an automatic suction.
Interesting. I actually did order it and Amazon like messed up my order. They said they delivered it. It never got delivered, so I never got to try it out.
Oh no. It's great at the beginning when you have like excess milk. It's not in place of or in lieu of a manual pump because it's literally just like the collection of that extra when moms leak. So it collects the extra milk.
And so you kind of mentioned before about like the nursing bras for when you're pumping. Can you share with everybody that tip that you told me about Nordstrom's?
Oh, yes, that Nordstrom for, I want to say it's $20. I don't know if it's gone up, but they will turn any bra into a nursing bra.
That's amazing.
Which is incredible. Yes, so, especially for moms that have bigger breasts. like myself, it's really hard. I can't just go to a regular store and buy like a, you know, size large bra. It's just not conducive to my situation. So it's really nice to have that option that they can turn any bra into a nursing bra.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you kind of mentioned that there are different ways to pump between the Haka and Hand Express, and, you know, everybody knows about the machines. Is there, like, a certain machine that you prefer? I know I was recommended the Medela a lot and the Spectra. Those were kind of, like, the two main ones. But do you have a preference?
So I think every mom is so different. Like, it depends on the coverage, which your insurance typically will cover a double electric pump, depending on your insurance. No matter what, I would call and see what the coverage is. And there are good sites out there that actually do the work for you, where you put in the type of insurance that you have and they show what is covered or if there's like a difference in pricing. As for which pump, every mom is so different. Some moms love the Medela, some moms love the Spectra, some moms are given the Amida. So it really just depends on what you can get. Just make sure that it's a closed system. So even if you're sharing pumps, which I don't recommend, you just want to make sure that it's a closed system, because milk does get in, and you just want to make sure that the pump that you get is closed. And typically, like a higher, like a hospital grade pump, which you can read about, it just depends on the pressure and the numbers.
So what do you mean by closed pump? And I'm sure that you could ask when you purchase it, but just for everybody listening at home, like, what does that mean?
So a closed pump is that you're not sharing, like, so the milk is not getting in. And so any parts, like, you could replace the parts, which you can at the store. It's just you don't want it to be, if it's not a closed system, the milk could potentially get through, and you don't want to share in that case at all.
Okay, got it. Now, what are the parts of the pump? Just because I know when I got my pump, I was going through the directions and it's talking about like flanges and the connectors. And I was like, I'm looking at these parts and I'm like, I have no clue what they're talking about.
I know it's difficult. And the thing with the Spectra, just for the moms to know out there, is it comes, like, all the parts come in two separate bags. Just a heads up, because I didn't realize, they actually have two different size flanges in each bag. So just be cautious. There's like a 24 and a 28 in each one. You just want to make sure you're using the same size to begin with. Later down the road, you might figure out that you actually fit better in two different sizes, which is totally okay. But with the Spectra pump, it's the flange, and then they have the ductile, the backflow protectors, and then the wire, the clear plastic wire that goes directly into the pump. For the Medela, it has the same thing, the clear wire that goes into the pump, the flange, and then it goes into the bottle. You just, again, with the backflow, you have to just make sure all the parts are on really tight, or you're not going to have the suction that you would kind of assume. So just make sure all of the parts are working properly. That's if you're not getting the milk out, there's ways to test your pump. Contact the companies, because they have really amazing customer service. If something just doesn't seem right, just make sure you reach out and ask them any questions that you have.
Okay, so now that we kind of went over the machines, I want to talk about introducing pumping to a new mom, because I feel like when I first started out, like when Lizzie was like 1 month old, I was so stressed out that, you know, I wasn't able to pump hardly anything. That's why I initially contacted you. And I was also stressed out because she wasn't taking the bottle. I was just like, I was putting so much pressure on pumping. And I mean, I really didn't need to, because I didn't need to pump until 3 months later, now that I'm going back to work. And it just kind of, you know, it just happens. Like, you're, I don't know, your boobs are able to adjust when you need to pump. As opposed to when you're exclusively breastfeeding.
Absolutely. And the thing is, like, there are moms out there that exclusively pump, which is great if that works for them. It's just, again, like I said at the beginning, pumping is just communication with your body that you need that milk. If you're not pumping to tell your body you need that milk, it doesn't know, so it's not going to continue to produce. So at the beginning, the AAP recommends waiting 4 weeks to pump, because you want the baby to establish your supply. So you don't want to create necessarily an oversupply, because there's definitely issues with that. So you just want to feed your baby directly at the breast as much as they want to, on demand. You cannot overfeed a breastfed baby. You can from a bottle. So just keep that in mind. So don't really worry about amounts until after, I would say, 4 weeks, when you could kind of introduce pumping slowly. And I always recommend after the first feed of the day. So when the baby's giving you maybe a stretch at night, you feed the baby directly at the breast in the morning, and you follow up with a pump session, because all that milk is kind of hanging out in your breast. It's not going to be reabsorbed. So then get it out, which is nice, because then at least you get a couple of extra ounces through the day without really having to, like, replace the full feed. And then after that, it's literally just anytime you miss a feed at the breast, you're going to want to communicate with your body, and that's when you're going to pump.
So if I am exclusively breastfeeding, you're saying that I should wait 4 weeks before I introduce pumping. And what about someone who, like a mother who is going back to work at, say, 6 weeks? Does that change, or do you think 4 weeks is still, like, an adequate amount of time for them to teach their body that they need to be able to pump milk?
And just to go back really fast, mm-hmm. I want to say, like, wait until 4 weeks unless a mom has, like, issue with supply. If they have low supply, or if the baby's not eating well at the breast, then we can introduce pumping before 4 weeks. So that is kind of, again, it's communication. So don't think, like, if you're breastfeeding well and the baby's gaining well, that's when you can wait. But if you have a low supply, or if there's any issues with transferring at the breast, or you have a low supply, then I would recommend pumping before. So that's kind of the when we recommend pumping before. So back to your question. Think of, like, going back to work, you're going to be pumping, at least ideally, like, you pump whenever you're missing feedings at the breast. So you don't really necessarily need a huge supply. You kind of just need enough milk to get you through the first day. And we have a great blog, like, on luckybabylactation.com, under our blogs. We have a blog entry, which is returning to work and pumping, and it kind of gives you that information where all you really need is the first day. Because if you could get through the first day, you're going to be pumping at work to replace those feeds, and then you'll have it for the following day. So you really only need, like, the first day or two. And then you're going to be pumping at work, which will be the milk for the next day.
Which, you know, it's funny because I never realized that you were literally pumping for the you know, very next day, which to me sounds really stressful. Because you're like, oh my God, what if I, like, don't pump enough the day before? But, like you're saying, your body just knows, right? Like, that should not be an issue?
It should not. There are moms out there that might not respond as well to the pump, so you can have a little bit of extra. But after the 4 week mark, I say, like, add that extra pump in the morning. So even if you get 2 or 3 ounces, I mean, that's almost a full feed. 3.5 ounces is a full feed. So you're right there. So if you're pumping every morning, and I would even recommend, like, while you're working, feed the baby before you leave for work, and then maybe pump right after. So that's one, a little bit extra. Every little bit helps and counts 100%. Every drop counts.
Absolutely. So what about some tips for, you know, women like me who are going back to work and they're worried about breastfeeding? And we were kind of talking about this before, how, you know, there's actually a difference when you're pumping at home and you're holding your little baby, looking at her, you know, making her laugh, and when you're sitting in this, like, ugly, cold office trying to pump, or storage closet, or, you know, whatever space your job gives you.
Outside, or, like, you're worried about who's, like, gonna possibly walk in.
Exactly.
I'm not gonna say it's not. It is, and your body definitely reacts different under stress. So when you're home, you're relaxed, your milk is flowing nicely, you're looking at your baby, it triggers maybe a letdown. When you're at work, you don't have that. You, depending on where you're in, like, what office space you're in, you're stressed. You're worried about getting back to work. You're worried about the work that you have to do. You're worried about who could potentially walk in or what the people outside are thinking. It's stressful. I'm not going to say it's not. All I'm going to tell you is it gets better. Like, you get into a routine. You'll get into a rhythm. And pump while you're at home, too, even on weekends, just to kind of add a couple extra sessions so you have a little bit of leeway where you have some extra milk and you're not concerned. But I'm not going to say it's going to be easy. It's just an adjustment. Just like everything, it's an adjustment. You just have to communicate with your body and just know it will get easier.
And do you have any tips for mothers who are you know, breastfeeding at their office? Because I know, like, I saw in one of my books that said, like, bring a picture of your baby or, you know, make sure you have that nursing bra. Do you have any additional tips for them?
Just try to, like, not focus on amounts. Like, don't watch every drop go into the bottle because, you know, we all are and we're watching.
Totally.
And we're stressing out about amounts. Like, just distract yourself. You know, even if you, like, sit at a desk, if you're lucky enough to have an office, like, that you could pump in, just distract yourself, put a picture of your baby up, focus on something else so you're not watching just every drop go into that bottle. And then stressing yourself out more, and then stress is definitely going to have an adverse effect on your supply.
Got it. Okay, so I have three more questions for you that people sent me to ask you. So the first one is, how long can you exclusively breastfeed?
How long can you exclusively breastfeed?
Yes.
As long as you want. As long as you want. Breast milk is literally their only source of nutrition before a year of age. I mean, you add in foods, but it's really just for learning. It's not going to replace any feeds at the breast. So... And after we had spoke about this with the other one, I was looking online, and in other countries, like, 4.5 years of age is typical, like, for weaning. So you think of, like, 4.5 in other countries, and for us, like, I know a lot of moms just want to get to 1 year, which I totally understand. But just know, like, long-term, if you want to go longer, you do whatever you're comfortable with. You can exclusively breastfeed for as long as you're comfortable and when you and the baby are ready to wean. But before one, it's exclusive breast milk. You're not going to change amounts. Your baby's going to have the same amount of milk until a year of age, which, again, is about 3.5 to 4 ounces, 24 to 35 ounces of milk in 24 hours. So think of it that way. And then, again, with the addition of food, sometimes it's great, like, if you want to add weight, like, onto a baby and whatever you decide to do for food. But literally exclusive, you can exclusively breastfeed. And it's only milk for the first year of life.
Got it. So kind of tying off of that, another one of the questions I got was, how long can an exclusively pumping mom go without breastfeeding? So how many hours, I guess?
It's all communication. So if your baby is getting 8 feeds in the day, I wouldn't go less than 8 pumps. So I wouldn't go by time. I mean, I would go by whenever the baby's eating. So it's just communication. So ideally, a baby's probably going to eat every, like, 3 hours through the day. Just make sure you're getting in those feeds and amounts. And there's calculators online that you could kind of look out to kind of estimate what they're getting. But typically, like, 3.5 ounces. And you just want to continue with that schedule. So if your baby's getting 3.5 ounces every 3 hours, I wouldn't go longer than 3 hours without pumping. It just causes issues, engorgement. It could cause plugged ducts. There's things you'll be uncomfortable. So if you're telling your body that you need this milk every 3 hours and you go, like, a 4.5 hour stretch, you're going to be uncomfortable. I wouldn't. There are times that you have to, which is okay. I just wouldn't recommend it, because then you're telling your body you don't need that milk and your body's not going to know to produce it.
Right. No, that totally makes sense. So another question I got is, someone said, I would love to know your secrets to getting a breastfed baby to take a bottle from somebody else, even when you're in the house. I've had to entirely leave the house before to get our other kids to take the bottle from my husband.
When your baby smells you, and I'm sure these moms know, like, it's like I told you this before too. It's
like
all you can eat buffet. You're there. They want you. They want you. They know that you're in the area. There's really no secret except be consistent. And whoever's giving them the bottle, just make sure they're pace feeding, and then make sure they're not kind of holding them, like, the expectation that they're going to get to the breast. Hold them facing out. Distract them. Put them in, like, a carrier facing out, even, like, in an apparatus, like a stroller, you know, on a little bit of an incline, the swing. Just distract them. Don't make them think that they're coming to the breast, because that's their expectation. And then when they get the bottle, of course they're going to be like, what is this? Like, I want to be at the breast. So just kind of distract them so they're not focusing on that. And then try. It's trial and error. I wouldn't say go and buy 27 different bottles. Just be consistent and know, like, if there's other things, like if the baby's completely refusing bottles or you try and they're just not taking it, I would contact an IBCLC, which we actually can come out to your house and we can kind of troubleshoot and figure out why they're refusing the bottle. There might be other reasons.
That's really funny that you said don't hold them as if they are going to get the breast, because I think that was probably the best tip that you gave us. For helping Lizzie take the bottle. My husband was cradling her as if, you know, almost as if he was going to offer his breast.
Yeah.
Just, you know, out of habit, because that's how I hold her when I feed her. So he just held her like that. And literally, yeah, whenever anybody comes over and they hold her, and I'm like, don't hold her. I'm like, don't hold her like a little baby. Hold her sitting up. I don't want her to think you're offering anything, because that confuses them. And yeah, like, I want her to know that there are different ways to eat and be able to differentiate, or else you are going to be stuck, you know, not being able to give them the bottle.
Right. And it's just all, I mean, of course, they're comfortable, so it's kind of getting into a new routine. And they say introduce after 4 weeks. So whenever moms want to, if they want to give a bottle and start early on, that's fine. I would wait after the 4 weeks. But just make sure that anytime they are getting the bottle, they're double pumping to replace that feed at the breast. Communication.
Got it. Now, do you have any other resources, books, blogs, podcasts for moms that are returning to work, or just moms that are, you know, trying to pump some extra milk so they can sneak off to Target for an hour, whatever they need to do?
Absolutely. I recommend, like, I love Kelly Mom because I feel like there's a ton of information on there, and you search and it gives you a bunch of information, and all the information on there is evidence-based. Just make sure anything that the moms are reading or looking up is evidence-based. I think mom-to-mom blogs are amazing, or mom-to-mom forums are great. It's just make sure that the information that you're getting is evidence-based.
Oh, that's a really great tip. You're right, because anybody can write anything on the internet.
Right.
All right. And then I have one more question for you. And I feel like, sure, you know it's coming. What is your favorite flavor of kombucha?
Well, after last week, I have discovered that ginger is definitely my favorite.
Yay. I'm glad that you gave it another chance.
Yes, I definitely did.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I totally appreciate it.
Thank you, Erica, for having me.